Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and I don't have a title for my message today, but what it is it's a half prophetic show with prophetic messages for unknown listeners and half teaching. So, okay, we're going to start with most of the prophetic words up front. Anne, your mother is ill. There's something unsettled from your past with her that you need to make right. This will be easier to talk about with her than you think, and it is very important that you get it done while you have the chance. But those things which God beforehand showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. That's Acts 3:18-20. Michael, the Lord sees your faithfulness, and there is a very nice surprise headed your way. I think it may be a nice little sum of money. Watch for it. The Lord is saying, when you get it, remember to praise him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Colossians 3:23-24. Scott, you have been having trouble at work. Scoffing from a coworker. A general feeling of everything like not being well anymore. The Lord wants you to know that he is done with you at that place. That's why you are feeling that. And that you are in danger if you stay, because there is something that's going to happen there. I don't know if it's a fire or an explosion or what, but I see destruction. Get out while you can, Scott. I see a period of rest for you before anything else after that job. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? 1 Kings 19:9. That last sentence was not a direct quote. Tammy or Tam or Tamra, you've been having a difficult time financially. The Lord says there is something he spoke to you to do some time ago, but you never obeyed him on it. He says if you will do that, he will bless your finances and things won't be so hard. But he wants 100% obedience. And why call you me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Robert or Bob, you are going through a difficult time with the pandemic going on and some other factors. The Lord says you are not turning to him for comfort, and he wants you to turn to him. He says that is why it's so difficult. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. Okay, now I'm going to read y'all kind of a summary of a story. I think I've told this story or part of it or mentioned it on a podcast previously. But it's the story of Pastor Daniel in Nigeria, who died in 2001 and was resurrected like 2.5 days later. It's really interesting, but the things that he saw and found out while he was dead are really important for us to know now. Okay, and I'm going to post a link to this story in the description of the show if y'all want to go read the whole thing in detail. This is the story of Pastor Daniel Ikechukwu, I cannot say his last name, in Nigeria. Pastor Daniel died in a car accident when his brakes suddenly went out one day while he was furious at his wife, as they had a big fight the day before during which she had slapped him. She had tried to make up with him that morning, but he had refused to forgive her or even speak to her. So Daniel died in late 2001, and he was shown paradise, and he was shown a mansion in heaven, and I never heard before what the angel told him about the mansion. This is the first thing I want y'all to hear. The angel told Daniel, "The mansion is ready, but the saints of God are not." Jesus is being delayed because Christians in the church are not ready yet. Then he was taken to visit hell by one of the angels. There were two angels that came and got him when he died. He said he saw a lot of folks down there and that each one seemed to be trapped in their own personal torment and they could not communicate with others. The angel explained the people were all reaping exactly what they had sown. That's a terrifying prospect for anyone who has not repented or who is not right with God. Then the angel told Daniel that if the book of his life was closed on that day, that hell would be his portion. And Daniel argued and he said, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm a child of God. You know, I've gone here and preached, I've gone there and blah, blah, blah. And the angel said, you have not forgiven your wife, therefore your sins are not forgiven. So this man had been serving God for years, faithfully. He has one argument with his wife, and he's really angry about it. So he's kind of nursing the anger in his mind. And y'all, this story scares me so bad because I used to do that. I used to do that. I don't do it now, but I did used to do it. So this angel told him, he said, this would be your portion. If the book on your life was closed today, this would be your portion. I cannot imagine the fear he felt at that point. So the people back on the earth took his body to his parents' house. I guess that's customary there. I don't know. Who instructed them to take his body to the morgue. The mortician, of course, started the embalming procedures. He started injecting embalming fluid in his fingertips and his toes. And I never heard of that. But then somebody told his wife, Nikki, that Reinhard Bonnke was preaching at such and such church and to take Daniel there. So they had the mortician dress him and lay him out in the casket and they took him there to that church. They had trouble getting admitted by security as 911 had just happened in America. They ended up taking just his body in, no coffin, and laying it on a table. And people they surrounded him and started praying for him to be resurrected. Because Nikki had the feeling if she could just get him to the church, you know, she knew Reinhard Bonnke's faith, that he had a lot of faith and everything. He was a pretty big preacher and all that. And so she believed that, you know, there would be some kind of help. So she had a lot of faith. So the people surround him and they start praying for him. And then his corpse began to twitch and then it began to breathe irregularly. And that was after being medically dead for over 42 hours. And then he jumped up off the table. Let me back up for a minute. When she was at her, I think when she was asleep the night before this happened, the night before his resurrection, I believe she saw his face appear to her. And he said, why do y'all have me in the back of this church? Why am I in the back of this church? Come and get me. So that kind of started that cycle of events. So he had no brain damage, no ill effects from being dead for almost 2 days, not to mention the embalming fluid that was injected into him. He felt like he had only been out for a few minutes, but they told him it had been almost 2 full days. Numerous people confirmed the events. He died late on the evening of November 30th, 2001, and he was resurrected between 3 and 5 p.m. on Sunday, December 2nd. And he continues to preach about his experience. Praise God. So knowing that life is frail, that any second we might be taken by a massive stroke, by a heart attack, or killed by someone, there are so many ways, y'all, that we can be taken out. We don't even, you know, we don't often give enough thought about that. When somebody, you know, gets on our nerves and we get upset at them and then we don't forgive them for a while, if we're taken in our sins, when we're in unforgiveness, during that time before we make up with that person, if we have unforgiveness, our sins are not forgiven. So the people who say you cannot lose your salvation, I beg to differ. You have to qualify certain ways, and one of the ways, the main way, is you have to believe in Jesus, that he's the risen Son of God. and you have to confess that you believe in him. And the second thing is you must forgive everybody the way God forgave you, or you don't qualify for heaven. And I'm working on a podcast about what qualifies you for heaven, because there are some other things too, and I want to do a study on it before I talk about it. So that's one thing. So it's absolutely untrue that once you've said the salvation prayer, you're guaranteed salvation from then on. That is absolutely untrue. You cannot say that prayer and go live your life however you want to and be mad at people and not forgive them and be committing all kinds of sins and not repenting. You will not enter heaven if that happens. Please hear me on this. You will not enter heaven. You cannot take the mark of the beast and repent. You cannot take the mark of the beast and get into heaven. There are people out there teaching that, oh yeah, you can take the mark of the beast and then just say sorry. No, you cannot. The Bible states very clearly, if you take that mark, you're done. It's game over. So I'm trying to prepare y'all for what's coming. That is my job, to prepare you for the end, because we're almost at the game over sign. For the people of God, we're going to be out of here. I don't believe that we will be here for the great tribulation unless we have been hard-hearted and we require refining. I found something I was looking for my voice recorder and I couldn't find it, but I had an old microcassette recorder that I bought like in 2007 or something, because I was always running up down the roads and I wanted to record things that, you know, I was, you know, hearing from God or thinking about or something like that. And it had a cassette in it. I was listening to it and I had recorded all these different entries over 2007, 08, and I don't even remember doing it. But on one of them, the Lord had told me in prayer, I was praying for somebody that was hard-hearted. And he was letting me know that he had to do some hard things in order to get through their hard heart. And I believe the way that he said it was, the harder the nut, the bigger the hammer. Something to that effect. The harder they are to crack, the bigger the hammer he's got to use, the bigger an event in their life. And I thought, oh, I don't want to be that hard-hearted person, y'all. Because I used to have a hard heart towards some things. So I'm going to try to transcribe that little tape and see what other revelations are back there, because there was some other stuff on there too I wanted to tell y'all about. So Pastor Daniel did not have any idea that he was teetering over the edge of hell when he refused to make up with his wife that morning. And then he's driving down the road and the brakes on his Mercedes, you know, he hit the brakes and nothing happened. I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but I have. When you hit the brakes and the pedal goes all the way to the floor, that is a bad feeling. And so he had an accident and he died. The people pulled him out of the car, but it was too late. He was already dead. By God's great mercy, he was raised from the dead, but the Lord would not have been unjust to leave him in hell. He's a righteous God. He could have just said, nope, you knew the word. And you did that, and so I'm sorry, but this is your portion. You're staying here. He was a man of the word. He taught the word. We know what it says about forgive or you won't be forgiven. Y'all, I talk about that all the time. We need to remind ourselves, because Satan is going to send people to rub us the wrong way. He's going to send people to persecute us and to persecute us hard. And we have to constantly be forgiving them. And that is going to be a tough thing. But if we train ourselves now to walk in forgiveness all the time and just automatically forgive people immediately, then we'll be a lot better off. There was another thing that was on that tape, and I don't know why this was on there. I must have been praying about it. About forgiveness. Was that on that tape? No, it might have been something I heard somewhere else. It might not have been on the tape. I may be lying about that. Anyway, that when you forgive somebody, and that thought, you know, you have to cast down the thoughts of unforgiveness. We have to cast down anything that exalts itself against God, that is not a thought that's going in the same direction as God. So when a thought comes to you that you're really angry at so-and-so and they shouldn't have done that and blah, 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 and that starts coming to you, you cast that down and say, no, I reject that thought in Jesus' name and I cast it down. And then out of your mouth, speak, I forgave that person. I forgave so-and-so. I already forgave them. And then go on. And every time the thought comes back, you cast it down again. The way Satan gets and keeps us in unforgiveness is he gets us to nurse that anger and think about how wrong that person did us. Oh, they did us so wrong. So we just, you know, we keep thinking about it and get more and more angry. And then when you leave that, it's like leaving a burner on the stove. It never cools off. And you never forgive. And 40 years later, you can still recite every detail of the story of what they did to you. We don't want to be those people, okay? And y'all, I know it's hard to forgive people sometimes. I know it is because I've struggled with that myself. I've struggled with being stabbed in the back so hard that it just leaves you reeling for months. But we still have to forgive. And you just have to keep working on it and keep taking it back and laying it at the feet of Jesus and saying, Lord, I need help with this one. I need help with this one. You know, this one really hurt me and I just need help. I need to see it through your eyes or I need something so that I can let go of it. And you keep doing that until you let it go, until you can remember what happened and you don't remember all the details and you feel no emotion. Because if you still feel emotion, there's still unforgiveness. And we, every one of us, need to examine our hearts and go over those old memories and those old, you know, times when people did us wrong and see if any emotion comes up. We need to do a heart check. Because if any emotion comes up, we need to deal with that now. We could be taken any time now, y'all, any time. As I record this, this is Friday night. It's the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. So it's the Jewish New Year, which is important because anything that has to do with Israel is important to us too. I was teaching one time something on a podcast about the Jewish this or Jewish that, and I got hate mail for it, y'all. I'm not trying to be a rabbi. I just know that we all like to know the Jewish meanings of things, and that's why I did that time. But anyway, so that's why y'all don't hear me talk about it much. But it is Rosh Hashanah, so there. So I wanted to share the story of Pastor Daniel in Nigeria again with those of you who have not heard it. It's all over the internet. It's also featured in a movie called The Lazarus Phenomena that I think might be available for rent on YouTube or Amazon or somewhere. We could get angry at somebody tomorrow and walk out the door and get mowed down on the highway. And we don't want to wake up in hell. There's no exit sign down there. We have been warned. And maybe this is the reason the word says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Like, don't hold on to it. If you have anger or you have ought against somebody, go to them and work it out. Go to them and just, you know, say, hey, was this really, did you really do this and blah, 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 whatever. Do what you've got to do to be able to forgive them. If that's going and confront them, then do that. But forgive. Because if you don't, you're not going to make heaven. And hell is a horrible place. It's a dark, stinking, horrible place. Prison that you can never get released from. You will never get out. And you'll be in your own private torment down there forever. You don't want to do that. Okay, I still got a few more words. Rachel, I see you trying to conceive. You really want a baby. The Lord is saying the reason you have not been able to conceive is there is something you need to repent for that is blocking it. The Lord says if you will seek him by praying again and again and again until he answers, that he will reveal to you where it is. Then repent fully, fully, and ask forgiveness for it, and you will be able to conceive and bear a child. But the Lord says to warn you that children sometimes bring sorrow as well as happiness, and to be sure and count the cost, especially in light of the hour we live in. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Michal was barren after that. Mark, you have just received a large sum of money. You're thinking about maybe buying a boat with it or something, you know, fun like that. You aren't really in need in other areas of your life, so you're going to buy something fun with it. The Lord says to use it for something practical instead, or you will regret it. He says that hard times are coming, and you should be thinking ahead for the sake of those you love. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Proverbs 6:6. By the way, before I go any further, the Lord has been moving on a lot of us to get out of debt. There is one other time in my life that the Lord did that, and when he did it before was right before a recession hit. If you are getting that, I strongly encourage you to do what he's leading you to do. If you don't, you'll sorely regret it. Okay, moving right along. Raquel, the Lord says you are being double-minded in your faith about something and that he wants you to truly believe him for what you're asking for. When you truly believe, you move from trying to believe to expecting it to happen and praising him that it's on the way. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1:8. Minnie or Minette, you work in a large, like a kitchen or a store or hospitality environment. I see stainless steel counters in a large room you're in. You feel kind of invisible to those you work with. Actually, in the whole world, you feel just unseen and unimportant. You are not what the world considers beautiful, and you can tell it by how people treat you. The Lord has seen all your hard work and that you hold him close in your heart, and he has a promotion for you. He says you may feel invisible now, but you're going to be promoted at work because he himself is going to make a job opening that you are perfect for. And he wants you to accept it when it is offered to you. You actually won't work as hard in that management position as you do in your current position, and he wants you to have it. You are going to witness to others in that position you cannot reach from where you are now. He says you are a gentle, kind of quiet, and very effective witness for him, and he is very pleased with you for that. Take that job when it opens up, Minette. But God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. Psalm 75:7. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's James 4:10. Lenny or Lynette or Malin, you've been having an affair. You are actually starting to plan to leave your spouse. Don't do it. If you do this, it will turn out to be the biggest mistake of your life, even though right now it looks like what will make you happy. And I see that you're a stubborn person. You hear this and you're like, I'm going to do it anyway. That's fine. You can do that, but God's given you a warning to try to save you from misery. Right now, it looks like that will make you happy, but don't do this. Seek the Lord. He wants to keep you safe, and he does not want you to live a life of regret. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Steve, you have been drawn back into an old sin, and the Lord wants you to repent immediately and stop doing it. He says he set you free from that years ago. Why are you returning like a dog to your vomit? As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Proverbs 26:11. And by the way, y'all, in this time, whatever test you flunked in the past, you're going to be given another chance to pass. See that you do pass them, because you do not want to be left behind for refining during the Great Tribulation, which will be literally filled with horrors. You know, God's testing is like going through school. If you flunk a grade, then you go back and you take that grade over and you get retested at the end of it, right? Issa, something very grave is coming to someone you are very close to. I don't know if it's the death of someone they love or a serious illness, but I see tears in someone who absolutely cannot be comforted. So it's a serious thing. Start praying now for the Lord to draw that person close and to anoint you and them for that time of loss, whatever it is. Because whatever loss it is very, very big in that person's life. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Mary, you have a job you don't really enjoy. It feels like drudge work. You need a refreshing break. The Lord wants you to spend your breaks in between work with him so he can refresh you. Sing to him, pray to him, quote psalms to him. But those things which God beforehand has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Acts 3:18-20. That's all I have for y'all tonight. I hope that's been a blessing to you and that it will help you. I want y'all to think about that stuff that I said about the pastor who died and went to hell. You know, he was given a second chance, but we're at the end. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot more people that are going to die and just go on to hell. And we do not want to be among them, because you don't get to leave that place. That is a prison that the door never opens on. And I don't want any of y'all to go there. I want to see all y'all in heaven when we get done with all this, so we can talk about all this. Anyway, I hope that helped y'all. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com.
Are there areas of sin in your life you just can't seem to overcome, no matter how hard you try? Many people live their whole lives under curses, without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Learn how to defeat every curse through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have the knowledge, you can break curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. In the book Loosed from Chains of Darkness, you will learn the basics of four different types of curses. Loosed from Chains of Darkness is the most comprehensive curse-breaking book on the market today. Get your copy of Loosed from Chains of Darkness by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, and audiobook versions.